welcome to Books Unbound, not on Bucket, where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
It's great. We're totally on top of things this week. Not going to mess anything up. So here we are once again for another recommendations episode. We are super hyped to get into the recommendations. We've got some, as always, lots of fun ones. Yeah. But before we jumped in, I think Ariel wanted to say something.
Got a little news out there. We talked about this in the last episode, but we forgot to mention it. And so we talked about it right at the end. So we thought, let's be better and talk about it at the beginning of this episode. We have a new tier on our Patreon. Guys, we love this podcast so frickin' much. If it could be our full-time job and we could make more episodes and like do all sorts of cool podcast stuff, we would. And we are so grateful to everyone who has signed up to our Patreon. Every time, we need to emphasize this. You don't have to be a patron to support the podcast. Just listening to it and sharing it is loads. But if you are able to support us on Patreon, we're really appreciative of that. And we now have a new tier. So we have, for the last at least a year, had just this one $5 tier. It's our dust jacket tier. That's always going to be our main tier where, you know, if you sign up at that level, you get all of the bonuses and everything. But we had some people messaging, like, how can we support the podcast more? And, like, wanted a bigger option. And we were like, well, we're not going to say no to more support. So we set up this $15 tier. If you want to support it, it's up now. You can check it out. And basically what you get is two things. One, your name will be in the show notes of all the episodes that you support in that month. So if you're like, support us in May, you will be on the show notes of all the episodes in May, for example. I just have to check who did it and I will add your name. Copy and paste, baby. I will do it. And then the other big thing, is that when you sign up, I will message you at some point. It will not be right away, but don't worry. I will be there messaging you within a few weeks. I will message you. I will ask you, what is your favorite book? And you will tell us. And then me and Raylene will record a little video, like a 1 to 2 minute video, where we will recommend you books based on your favorite book. Because we thought that was such a fun way to say thank you and to give you a personalized recommendation. So feel free to sign up for just 1 month if you want to just get our recommendation and get the hell out of there, or for longer if you want to. So that's an option now.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Thank you everyone for your support. Back to the show.
Like a commercial. back to the show after these messages.
Exactly.
I remember hearing that a lot when I was a kid watching TV shows.
PBS, baby.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Well, anyway, without further ado, why the heck not? Let's just jump right into our recommendations.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to start with one that I think is hilarious, and I can't wait to do it, so we're just going to do it first. This one comes from Shania, and she says, "Hello, lovely ladies. Sometimes I enjoy reading books aloud, and sometimes the only living being around to hear me is my cat. She is 13. I love this. I love it so much. She is 13 years old, and her name is Lightning. I named her when I was 9, lol. She likes to pretend she's a stone-cold bitch, but she is actually a cinnamon roll on the inside. I was wondering if you could recommend a book for her. She enjoys hunting a laser light, staring out the window, and curling up next to me on the couch. She is also very talkative, as in she screams at me whenever she wants attention. She enjoys all genres. Thank you, and much love from Australia." I love that detail. She enjoys all genres. And actually, before we jump into our recommendations, I just want to say that I can really relate to this. A few years ago, I would have moments where I was, you know, sitting on the couch reading a book and I just felt like reading it aloud. And for some reason, when I would be sitting there reading aloud, both of my cats would come and just sit on the couch near me. Like, it's like they wanted me to read to them.
Cool.
Because I was just reading aloud for my own enjoyment. Because sometimes I find that it helps me stay, like, grounded in the reading more.
Yeah,
because if I stop reading, I notice it because I'm like, why am I not talking anymore? But yeah, it was so cute. I love reading to
That's
my cats.
So
it was
cool.
So good.
That reminds me of a story really my mom always tells me, because when she first moved to Canada, she had a cat. And he was like the love of her life. They had one of those very, very close bonds. But he apparently like got lost once, like a door had been left open, and so she made my dad play piano while all the doors were open, and the cat came back. Because he knew the sound of my dad playing piano. Isn't that cool?
I'm gonna cry. Beautiful. Oh man, well please tell me which book you would recommend to Lightning. I really want to know what you picked.
I also love the name Lightning.
Lightning. It's so good.
It's a really good name. Shania should not be ashamed of that name. It's incredible. So I picked two, and I thought they're kind of strange choices, but I stand by them. Okay, so the first one is The Outsiders. This is a book I have not talked about on the podcast before. It's really funny because you just mentioned it on last week's episode of Books Unbucket for our patrons. And I was like, I'm not going to mention that this is the book I picked for the cat in the next episode. Yeah. but yeah, so I picked The Outsiders because Shania said that her cat feels like she's super sassy, but actually she's a cinnamon roll on the outside. I was like, that's a metaphor for The Outsiders. They're all acting like they're these cool, hard-ass gang members, but actually, just stay golden, bunny boy. Stay golden.
They're all just boys.
They're all just boys. They're all just little boys. So I actually thought that was a really good recommendation for people who are like fronting this masculinity and this toxicity and this bravado, but actually they're just brothers and they're emotional and they care about one another. And so I thought that was a really good pick. I was pretty proud of myself for that one. The other book that I picked was Macbeth. And I picked this one for a few reasons. Number one, if you're reading a book out loud, Shakespeare needs to be read out loud. Like, it has to be read out loud for a couple of reasons. One, it's a play. You gotta read it out. It's supposed to be read out loud. Two, I actually really find that reading Shakespeare out loud helps me appreciate it so much more because you start to feel like it's a bit of a song. It's lyrical. It's written as poetry. So you really get into it more. You understand it more. And it's just fun to read it. Like, who doesn't want to say, shalt thou, whatever, out damn spot, out I say. I think that Lightning would really appreciate a dramatic retelling of Macbeth. So I think because Shania said that she's reading out loud, I thought that that would be really cool. The second thing, she enjoys hunting a laser light. Macbeth has a war component. And then staring
out. You went this really deep into this.
I really did. Staring out the window, I was like, okay, well, for a long time, Macbeth is looking out at the coming armies. I was like, there's something there. But the main reason was, again, with this, like, feeling like you're sassy, but actually you're a cinnamon roll on the inside. I was like, that is literally Lady Macbeth. Lady Macbeth, if people don't know the story of Macbeth at all, basically, how do I explain it? You got Macbeth, this main character, who's like a general in an army, basically. This is all set back in like medieval Scotland, basically. So you got this Macbeth character who's a general in the army, and his wife wants him to be king. And so they start murdering all these people in order, because he's like, you know, next in line. We only have to kill a couple of people, and then we're suddenly the King and Queen Macbeth. So they start murdering people, but the guilt of the murders haunts them and messes them the frick up. They can't get over it. And that's why you hear this very famous line, out damn spot, out I say. Lady Macbeth goes crazy and she starts maniacally washing her hands. Like, even while she's not washing her hands, her hands will move in the movements as if she's washing them because she's trying to get the blood stains out of her hands. The problem is, Raylene, they're not in her hands. They're on her frickin' soul, man. So that's what Macbeth is about. And I thought that Lightning would appreciate that. Thank you.
You really want Lightning to be an educated cat who's read Shakespeare. That's really what you want.
Yes, it's true.
That's funny. I took this in kind of a different direction.
Good. That's awesome.
I mean, as you should expect from me, I have recommended two cat books to Lightning. Two very different cat books.
Amazing. Yeah,
so the first one is like not a hardcore cat book, and that is A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachmann. Mm. However, there is a cat on the front because is a cat character. It's just not like the main character. Uwe is the main character. But I thought that this one worked for a couple of reasons, because Uwe is this grumpy old man. So that reminded me of Lightning kind of being, you know, a little sassy lady. But he's actually very, like, it's a similar thing to The Outsiders. Like, he puts up a front of being this, like, really grumpy, like, unapproachable person. Mm. But he has so many feelings. Right. And he just needs to be loved. He's so lonely. And he just needs that little push to to, like, you know, show his vulnerabilities and his emotions. And there's a cat in it. So I thought that that was a fun option. And then I, for the flip side, though, I wanted to pick a really freaky cat book for Lightning because she enjoys all genres. So I picked Pet Sematary by Stephen King, which is a book I haven't really talked about much, but I read it a couple years ago and it was awesome. I don't want to give Lightning any ideas because, you know, this is about a very scary cat, but I just wanted her to know, like, what's out there. You know, there's not all cats are nice.
Yeah, that's so true.
She needs to learn that one way or another, and it's a really great book. So
that's hilarious. I remember watching that movie when I was a kid and finding it pretty scary, and then they just redid it, remember, like 3 years ago or something, maybe 2 years ago, and I went and watched it in theaters. It was not very good, I will be honest. It was an only okay horror B, you know, C plus kind of B minus kind of a horror movie, but you know, you got a couple jump scares with the demon cat, but
yeah, it was a little freaky.
It's a little freaky. I loved what we just did. That was a really great use of our time, and I'm really proud of us.
I mean, okay, so we've recommended books to a plant and now a cat. I mean, yes. What's next for us? Honestly?
A boat. A boat or something. Someone's
I don't know how it can get better than this.
I will say, Shania, we desperately need you to send us a photo of your cat.
Please, we need to see Lightning.
And if you would DM us a photo on Instagram, hopefully we will see it. Maybe the safer thing to do is email us a photo at booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your cat. We need to see Lightning. And we will, if you give us your permission, of course, let us know in that when you send it. We would love to post it to the Instagram because the world needs Lightning.
Cat books, yeah.
The world needs Lightning.
Needs to see her.
Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Your turn. Go.
This recommendation comes from Marika. And here we go. I really like this one. I thought this was fun. And I think we have to do this one after everything I just said about Macbeth. I really am, you'll see why. So I was looking at my bookshelves the other day and realized I've turned into a bit of a pretentious reader. And I'm at peace with that. I was wondering which book makes you feel the most pretentious when you recommend it to people. Love the podcast. Greetings from Amsterdam. Amsterdam. The last time I was in Amsterdam, I went to this restaurant. Raylene, I have to tell you, this is one of my wacky stories. Went to this restaurant called Pasta Pasta.
Okay.
Already incredible. Just incredible. So we go to this restaurant for like lunch or something, and I had this pasta. It was some of the best pasta I've ever had in my entire life. It was so good. It was cheap, too. It wasn't, like, super fancy, expensive pasta. It was just, like, a reasonable price for a great bowl of pasta. So the next day, we're like, where should we go for lunch? And we were like, we gotta go back to Pasta Pasta. It was so freaking good. So we go back to Pasta Pasta. And then either again for dinner that day or again for lunch the following day, we went back to Pasta Pasta. And the guy who worked at Pasta Pasta was like, so did you guys like just move here? Are you going to be regulars? And yeah, it was the saddest thing that's ever happened to me because I so badly wanted a life where I was a regular at Pasta Pasta. But we had to explain that we were just there for a few days and we just loved the pasta and we couldn't think of a better place to go for lunch. We were like, once you find something great, you don't change it. So, anyway, Pasta Pasta, if you're in Amsterdam, everyone, I almost was, I was a regular there for 3 beautiful days. I love this question, though, because we all know that pretentious reader, and sometimes we are that pretentious reader. So I thought that this would be a fun one. Raylene, what did you come up with?
Yeah, I was going to ask to go first because I know mine is going to be so much more disappointing than whatever you pick. Because I've discovered that I am not a pretentious reader at
all. That's good.
Like, at all. Like, it's funny because I have a friend who I would say is quite a pretentious reader, and she always will, like, recommend me stuff, and I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to read that. Like, I don't want to.
I really hope you're not subtweeting me right now, really.
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not that quote-unquote friend. I have this friend who keeps telling me.
I have this friend. No, she really wants me to read, like, Russian classics, and I'm like, nah. Yeah. No. So anyways, so I was looking at my shelves and I was trying to figure out what was a book that would make me feel pretentious while recommending it. And I really couldn't come up with anything super strong. I was kind of hounding the internet for like pretentious book lists. And of all the books that I could find, there was only like maybe one or two that I actually would recommend to people that I've read. Because either I read them and don't like them. Like I'm not a big fan of Jane Eyre or Pride and Prejudice, which was like two books that were at the top of a lot of these lists. And so I ended up just going with The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger.
Great freaking book.
This book.
Great book.
People who don't like this book, like one of their big things is just like, ugh, it's so pretentious. Every pretentious, like, middle-aged man says this is their favorite book. Yada, yada, yada. Which is like totally fair. Totally a fair judgment. I just love it because it's a great coming-of-age story. Yeah. I love an unlikable main characters is one of my favorite things in books. So I like it for such simple reasons. That's not, I feel like I don't like it for the same pretentious reasons that other people might like it for, but at the same time it is a quote unquote pretentious book. So I decided to go with this, but I was like, ah, man, I just am not a pretentious reader. I wish I had a better answer for you guys.
I think that's really fun though. I think this also made me think a lot. I was like, what is a pretentious reader? And I guess what we mean is just like somebody who makes other people feel bad sort of about reading difficult, challenging books that are like kind of obscure and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, obviously there's all sorts of readers and we're not shaming anyone. We're just having some fun here. If you are that quote unquote kind of pretentious reader, good. If you're having fun reading those books, that's what matters. I was thinking about this because I was scrolling through my list and I was like, you know what? I'm also generally not a very pretentious reader. I think a lot of what I read is, like, literally 98% of what I read is, like, very approachable, run-of-the-mill, get-it-at-chapters.
Me too.
Not that obscure. However, I've had my moments. And basically, I was like, most of what I read during my master's is almost unbearably pretentious. So I was like, but the funny thing is I never talk about it because they're unbearably pretentious.
I can't wait to hear.
So the first one is An Inquiry Concerning Human Understanding by David Hume. Yikes. Scottish philosopher from a long time ago. Reading it was unbearable. Is it interesting? Yeah. Was there some interesting ideas? Yeah. Would I ever read it again? No.
No.
At least I don't think so. Who knows? The next one, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction by Walter Benjamin. Aye, aye, aye. You know what's even worse about this one? I chose to read this book, goddammit. This wasn't even assigned to me. It's, to be fair, a very interesting book. Walter Benjamin, again, like a philosopher. And he wrote this book during the Second World War, and it was this idea of like his argument, his concepts, really bubbled down. Really got to read this essay. Don't take my word for it. I read it a few years ago. But his basic concept is now that we're in an age when we can basically infinitely produce art. So that just means like you can scan and print, like you can do an original beautiful drawing, but then you can scan and print it a million times, or you can write a book and then print it a million times. Like now that we're in this age of mechanical reproduction, it has devalued art. Art isn't as valuable anymore in the sense that it was before. And so what should the purpose of art be now? Obviously, he was writing during the war in the rise of fascism, and he was like, it should be political, et cetera, et cetera. Fascinating book. Very interesting book. Also, completely impossible to read. It's, like, hard to read that kind of crap if you're not used to it. And it was, like, when I think of these sorts of books, I'm, like, that took a university to make me read that. I'm, like, I had to be in that mindset. And it's not a fun, easy mindset to be in. So, like, if you're just casually reading after work, you're not gonna pick up The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction.
Yeah, totally.
The last one I wanted to mention, because I don't really recommend those other books. I mean, I kind of do recommend the Ladder by Walter Benjamin because it's interesting and it's very short and it has a really good cover. But The Medium is the Massage by Marshall McLuhan, which is based on his idea and essay, The Medium is the Message, but because he's a pretentious guy, he called his book The Medium is the Massage to make a point. It's a cool book. It's a very interesting book. It's very graphic. Like, it's almost a graphic novel. And he plays around, obviously, this concept, the medium is the message, the idea that the way that you present information is as important as the information that you are sharing. Great idea. Very important for the digital age. When you think about, like, what is an idea worth tweeting? Would you tweet that, or should you make a whole video about it? Should you Instagram that, or is that, like, if you get engaged, is the first thing you're gonna do tweet about it? No, because it's important information, right? So the first thing you're gonna do is call your friends and text your friends and send them photos, because that's what's, like, you know what I mean? So, like, thinking about that is actually very fascinating stuff, and the book is very cool. It was a book I read in my undergrad, and it was one of the few I've kept around. I also have these other ones. I think the only reason I keep an Enquiry Concerning Human Understanding is because it was so difficult to read that, and I had to do a whole fucking essay and presentation about it that I was like, I need to keep that just to prove that I did it. I conquered this freaking thing.
That's hilarious. Yes. Well, while you were talking, I actually thought of another book that I wouldn't necessarily recommend, but I just feel like it's one of the more pretentious things I could say.
Yeah.
And, it's that when I was in high school, I think I was in grade 11 or 12, we read The Stranger or The Outsider by Albert Camus.
Yeah,
and we read it in French, bitch. I read L'Étranger. I read it in the original French. And I feel like that's the most pretentious thing I could say. Like, yeah, I read Camus in the original
language. The original French.
That's I've never fantastic. Read him in English.
That's so interesting.
I've only read this one French
yeah, I feel like people might not know. I feel like people might not know that you went to French immersion.
Yeah, that's very true. I was in French immersion from kindergarten to grade 12.
Yikes.
And then I stopped. After that, I was like, no more French. My mother's side of the family is French Canadian, so it was kind of something I just had to do.
Had to do it, yeah. That's a good one. And I think that adding that I read it in the original French was the most beautifully pretentious thing you've ever said. I loved it.
Thank you. I felt like it needed to be said.
I feel like the other things that would be really pretentious, I agree, are like the Russian classics, or let alone reading them in the original Russian. I mean, wow. But like Proust or Infinite Jest, like these really big, really giant tomes. There's some Moby Dick.
Yeah, I actually know someone who was learning Russian in order to read Russian classics in the original Russian, and I was just like,
wow,
that could be really cool, but I felt like it was uncool the way he was doing it. he was rude about it.
Yeah, there you go. That's the real problem. Man, okay, that was some fun poking fun at ourselves. That was a good time. Thank you for your question, Marika. And which one is up next for you?
Up next is a recommendation request from Amy. I love this one.
This is cool. This is a whole vibe.
It's so good. Okay, so she says, "Hello, I love summer evenings. They make me so happy, but not in that giddy, almost silly happiness. They make me happy in a grounded, almost somber happiness. Mm-hmm. Like your skin is still warm from the summer sun, but there is a chill in the air as the sun sets.
Do
you have any book recommendations that have that same feeling?" Oh, I love it. That's such a mood.
Summertime, like, sadness is what it is.
Exactly.
Got that summertime sadness. Oh, God. I already have it, and it's only spring. I feel this. I feel this really deeply because I really know what she means. It's like you just spent most of the day outside. You had so much fun, but it's nighttime now, and you know it's ending. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
I almost feel like it's like a metaphor for growing up.
Yes. Oh, I completely agree
with
that. You
know, and that's what you'll see that with the books that I've picked as well.
I also, also with me, maybe one of the ones we picked is the exact same. Did you pick To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, but I would have if I had thought of it.
All
that's
right.
A great idea.
Well, I picked To Kill a Mockingbird because this book to me is literally 100% that vibe. Like, the second it came into my mind, I was like, oh, it's perfect. It's the perfect one. Because, I mean, first of all, it's set in summertime, right?
Yeah, it just evokes hot.
It evokes hot. It's set in the South, right? Am I right about that? Where is To Kill a Mockingbird?
It's been a long-ass time since I read that book. I was like 12.
Let's see. Oh, this is the movie. Why, every time, does that ever happen to you? You type in a thing and then it shows you the movie instead of the book on Wikipedia. Wikipedia says, it was published in 1960 and was instantly successful.
Very nice.
Oh, yes, it's set in Alabama. There you go. So, it's set in the southern United States. It is a hot summer book. You've got Scout, our main character, which, by the way, fantastic name. Scout. Love it. She's a young girl, and she's like, oh, God. This is the problem with having read a book a really long time ago. I'm like, how old is Scout? Like, she's like 12?
She's 10 or 11.
10, yeah. 11, 12. She's a kid. But it's about that, exactly like you said, that coming of age. You've got this fun summer vibe, this girl just out of school, spending her summer running around in shorts. She's kind of a tomboy. She's spending all of her time outside and doing fun summery things, running around. At the same time, you have this really devastating trial going on about a black man who has been accused by a white woman of rape, even though he didn't commit it, but there's all of this horrible racism happening there. And so it's the story of her growing up and looking at her father, Atticus Finch, who is a white man who is defending the black man in the trial. Mm-hmm. And you just, like, it's like losing that innocence, you know what I mean? Learning what the real world is like. And so there's this contrast between that hot summer and you're just a kid and it's summer vacation, but at the same time you're learning about the realities of the world and it's dark and it's, I was about to say feo, which is basically ugly in Spanish. It's like ugly and it's it's just like not good. I think that that contrast is exactly the vibe that our pal Amy is talking about.
Absolutely.
The other one I wanted to pick is Why We Broke Up by, I almost said Adam Sandler.
Oh my God.
Why We Broke Up by Adam Sandler. It's actually funnily close, isn't it? Oh my God, that's hilarious. Daniel Handler.
Oh, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Why We Broke Up by Adam Sandler.
The more you say it.
Yeah, he wrote a YA book.
Try to control my laughter over here. We both got tears in our eyes. Okay, that was good. Why We Broke Up by Daniel Handler is the exact same thing that I'm talking about. It's a really great YA novel that I think is a little pretentious, since we were just talking about that.
Yeah,
it was a slight edge of pretension in the book and the style of the book, which I think it has been misconstrued as pretension. I think it's a really beautiful, great book. But because of that, I don't think it became as big as I think it should have been. I love that book. And when it came out, I know a lot of people read it because so many of us were like huge Lemony Snicket fans. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to like see what was this YA book he had written. But it kind of, I don't hear many people talking about this book anymore. But it's basically, I think there's 13 items or 11, I forget, 10 items, some number of items in a box that a girl is leaving on the doorstep of her ex-boyfriend. And so the book goes through and has this beautiful illustration of each item, and then it explains how that item is related to why they broke up, either a moment that they experienced or something that she learned because of the moment. And so again, it's like this, it's like a summary YA book. Like, it takes place as long as the illustrations in my mind are correct, it's like a summary book, you know, set in the summertime, but it's about a breakup and it's about like the end of something big. So those are the ones I picked. What did you pick?
Those are great picks.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, those are awesome. I wasn't sure what you were going to recommend, and I love that we picked different books. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, one that actually, before I jump into my main picks, one that springs to mind in a big way is The Great Gatsby.
Because
this is another book that just evokes heat.
Yes,
the book,
you're right.
There's an entire scene when a bunch of characters have gotten together and it's really stressful. A lot of them are kind of angry at each other and it's also freaking hot.
It's too hot.
All of them are just like in this, it's just this room of fire and it's just like so intense. And so it really evokes that heat in a really real way.
Yeah.
I feel like that book just makes me think of like a hot July day.
Yes.
But then there's also this undertone of darkness throughout the whole book.
So bad.
So I feel like it's more of like
sadness.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a constant, like, it's summer. Everything is glamorous and beautiful, but actually it's terrible. And like, there's horrible things happening. And so I feel like that book just kind of evokes that feeling, but in a very like grandiose way and less of a, like a quiet, quiet way, which is kind of the vibe I was getting from that recommendation request. So I just wanted to mention The Great Gatsby, but it is maybe not the exact vibe.
Yeah, but it's definitely a good pick. And if people want, I don't know, an audiobook of The Great Gatsby read to you by Raylene herself, you can find that on our Patreon. My God.
That's very true. There's only a couple of chapters out so far. So if you literally only want to listen to the audiobook, wait like 8 months and then you can become a dust jacket and then you can listen to the whole book. Just a tip if that's what you're feeling. But yeah, so the books I picked for this are actually two Stephen King books.
Oh, cool.
I feel like Stephen King books, a lot of his books encapsulate this feeling very well. But I decided to go with The Body, which is actually a novella from different seasons, but I have this cool copy that's just the body. And this is, for those who don't know, was made into the movie Stand By Me back in the day, which is one of my favorite movies as well. It's so good. It's about four young boys who hear from some other kids that there is a dead body somewhere. Mm. And they're like, well, we've got to go check that out because we're a bunch of boys. And so it's just about their journey, like, to do that. And it's a dark storyline, but it's set against these like young boys just wandering around town back in the good old days. Like, it takes place in the 50s, I think. So it's like kind of like the good old days when, you know, kids could just wander around and do whatever they want. And I feel like that is a cool summertime feeling.
100%.
But it's also like dark, like we've mentioned, it's one of those things where it has a somber mood to it. And that kind of feeds into my next one, which is Joyland by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
I read this one last summer, and it was perfect. And I actually, I feel like I remember reading this book sitting outside as it was getting colder. Like, we would start reading, like, I read it when I was with you last summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would start reading when it was really hot in the day, and then we would just stay outside for a little bit too long as it got colder.
Yeah.
And so I get that literal feeling from remembering this book. But the whole book is about this guy who is kind of just like he's just a college student who doesn't really know what he wants to do. And so he gets a job at this amusement park called Joyland and just kind of works like the crummy jobs that you get when you're a new person at an amusement park. And so it's kind of just mostly about that. He meets some interesting people along the way, but then near the end of the book, some crazy stuff happens. So it goes from being like just a nice warm summer, just, you know, day in, day out, doing my job, kind of like mundane in a lot of ways. And then, but then towards the end of the book, it gets crazy and there's some crazy stuff. So I feel like it works for this recommendation as well. So hopefully we
did. I think we did feeling. It. I think we did, really.
when we first picked this recommendation, you and I were talking and we both were like, We Were Liars would also be a great
I forgot to write that down. I think We Were Liars is an excellent pick. I'm glad that you remembered that. Yeah, we were talking about this.
I think it's perfect for this.
It is perfect. We Were Liars is definitely one of my favorite YA books, and it was so popular when it first came out. I'm sure a lot of the people who have listened to this podcast have read it. If you haven't, though, or if you haven't reread it in a really long time, I should really reread that book because it was so good and it's super short. But We Were Liars is basically the story of a young, well, not, I guess she's a teen. Now teens feel so young to me. But
it's like 16.
a decade ago. But yes, it's about a teenager who has a very rich family. And every summer, her family will go to this island where there's, I forget if it's like, it's three siblings, basically, who own these three houses or something like that on the island. And so every summer she gets to see her aunts and uncles and cousins. Something very dark has happened, though. And I don't want to spoil anything because, like, there's so many good reveals in the book and stuff. But something very dark has happened that has made this summer a lot more dark than all the summers before. And so she goes to the island with her family, and you're trying to understand what the hell happened. Like, what went so wrong? And it's exactly what we're saying. Hot summer, dark undercurrent.
Yeah. Man. Somber.
Somber as heck. Gosh, I think we nailed it. I think we're doing a really good job, Raylene. We just have to ace this final recommendation and we will have done okay. a 100%.
Whew, okay, here we go.
This comes from Felicia. Hey guys, longtime listener of the podcast here. Love you guys. We love you too, Felicia. I am looking for a book that spurs a creative feeling. Quarantine has got me down, and I am looking to renew the spark to create again. I'm looking for a book that will inspire me to get that feeling back. It can be about writing, painting, any sort of creative outlet. Thanks again. Stay wonderful. Gosh. Oh, thank you, Felicia. Nice. Raylene, what did you pick?
Yeah, so this one took me a second to think of one, and then when I thought of one, I was like, yes, I've got it. I remember, because I was trying to think of a book that spurred a creative feeling in me when I read it.
Yeah.
And for me, that would be Beach Read by Emily Henry.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes, because this book is about two authors who just so happen to be living for the summer side by side in beach houses. Mm-hmm. And both of them are kind of in a rut. Both of them are kind of having a tough time writing. And yes. So they come up with a challenge. And they're kind of been like they've been rivals since college because they used to know each other and they were kind of rivals writing classes and stuff. Yeah, so they've known each other a long time. And so there's kind of like this tension that's been between them for a long time. And so so they have this fun tension, and then they decide to make each other write a book that's in the opposite style. So right. Like the woman is a romance author.
Yeah.
But she's been having a tough time. She's like 6 months behind her deadline. She's supposed to have a book ready, and her editor is like, come on, where's your book? And the man, I forget what their names are right now, but the guy, he is more of like a serious literary author and writes very, very serious books. And so they decide to swap. And so he has to write a romance novel and she has to write like a great American novel.
Right.
And so it's all about that. And it's the two of them. Like, sometimes they'll sit in, like, facing each other through their windows and they'll just be like, hey, what's going on? Like, they'll, like, send each other little notes and stuff to encourage each other. And so it's such a fun book because it kind of made me want to try doing something I've maybe never done before. Mm. Or, like, you know, try a new medium that I've never done before. Try writing about something that's totally outside of my wheelhouse. Because totally. You never know. It might spark something.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
might
yeah.
inspire you to do something. Whereas if you just keep doing the same thing, you know, you might kind of fall out of it a little bit. So that book made me want to write. So I feel Ooh. Like if that's the type of vibe you're looking for,
yes.
it's the perfect book.
I love that.
And it's a fun romance too, so that's another plus.
That's going to be one of the books I definitely attempt this summer in my aerial attempts to read romance books. So I'm excited to have gotten another recommendation for it. Well, okay, I had a couple that came to mind. I've definitely mentioned these before on the podcast, but I have to recommend them. Because Felicia needs them. So, up first, Show Your Work. Obviously. Mm-hmm. This is it's so short. It's so easy to read. It's very graphic in that there's like drawings and quotes and doodles and all sorts of things throughout the book. So it's so easy to read. It's so short. It's already like a square. It's a little square book, like a gift book. And so it's very easy to read, which I think helps make it feel more creative because you're sort of like, you're enjoying this kind of fun book. Like, it's got fun design. But the basic concept of the book is just like, stop holding back from sharing your art. Just go and make stuff and share it. And so it's literally like a rallying cry to be more creative. The other one I've talked about before, On Writing by Stephen King. It is so good. It is so excellent. I really recommend the audiobook because Stephen King reads it himself, and that's how I listened to it, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I really liked like actually hearing him tell me his story. It's part memoir and part like, you know, how he writes and his rules for writing and stuff like that, which is really cool. And I really enjoyed it partly because I didn't realize it was going to sort of be a memoir, but you learn a lot about Stephen King's life and you learn about, like, you know, there's those really exciting moments where he's talking about writing Carrie. And he's, like, never published anything really before. Like, he's published stories and stuff, but never a novel. And so he's writing this book, and he's like, I'm writing a book about a teenager who gets her period at the beginning chapters. And he was like, this is ridiculous, and he throws it away. And then his wife finds it, and she started reading it, and she really liked it. And so she salvages it out of the garbage can, is like, what is this? Yeah. You have to keep writing it. And so it's like, reading those sorts of origin stories for authors always makes me so excited. But he also has such good advice and stuff. And then the other one is what we talk about when we talk about running. We both love this book.
Absolutely.
But this is another book very similar to On Writing in that it's like part memoir, part why they write, part like why they or how they write and stuff. So this is from Haruki Murakami. It's a book about why he loves running. It turns out he runs like marathons every year and stuff. But he talks about the similarities between running and writing and why he writes. And again, his origin story about writing, like how he owned a jazz club and was playing was watching a baseball game one day when he had this idea for a story. And he was like, I guess I could write that down. And then he became freaking Haruki Murakami. I mean, that kind of stuff is so exciting to me. And those really are three of my favorite all-time books. So I cannot recommend them enough. There was one more book, though, that I wanted to mention. I have not read it yet, but I wanted to talk to you about it, Raylene, because I was like, we've both talked about this book before. I forget if you might own it because it's a cat book, technically. Cat's Eye by Margaret Atwood. Do you know about
this book? I want that book. I don't own it yet. I have not been able to find a copy, but
okay.
I want it so badly.
So this was a book. I just wanted to talk about this because we've talked about Margaret Atwood before. I think we have kind of alluded to this book once before.
I mentioned it in Book Olds.
Okay. But when I was just Googling around, like, I was like, is there a novel I've read that I really want to recommend? This one kept getting recommended. And I was like, what? I didn't know that was about an artist. So it says, Cat's Eye is the story of Elaine Risley, a controversial painter who returns to Toronto, the city of her youth, for a retrospective of her art. Engulfed by vivid images of the past, she reminisces about a trio of girls who initiated her into the fierce politics of childhood and its secret world of friendships, longing, and betrayal. Elaine must come to terms with her own identity as a daughter, a lover, an artist, and a woman. But above all, she must seek release from her haunting memories. So, that seems great.
Sounds cool.
But we can't actually recommend it because we don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. But I bet it's good. I just have a feeling.
Raylene, I think we did a really great job.
I think so too. We made it through.
I'm really
I was
proud
worried about that pretentious book one, but then I came around with the Camus. I really feel like I achieved something there. Wow, that was a lot of fun.
That really was
Oh, that was great. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll obviously be posting some of these books on Instagram, and I want to know what you guys would recommend for some of these recommendations, like the dark summer read, because I feel like that's something that I want to also read, so I want to get some recommendations for stuff that I haven't read yet. I would love to hear your guys' recommendations for any of these, because they are super cool. And we are off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket. We're doing a fun one. We found it in the Discord. Do you want to read it, Ariel?
I closed Discord, but...
Oh, okay, yeah. I could find it. I just didn't have it open. So this one came from Kira, who is just the greatest. Kira always gives us such great topics to talk about.
Yeah.
And she basically asked us to recommend a book to our cats.
Yes.
So... I'm going to recommend a book to your cat. I'm going to recommend a book to my cat, and I hope that you'll do the same, because that would just be so great. So yeah, this was inspired by us recommending plants to Louise, which I'm so happy to say that name stuck.
Yes, thank God.
The plant is now named Louise, and I'm so happy.
We have made a really positive impact on the world, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then today we recommended books to Lightning, so now we may as well recommend books to our cats as well. So that's what we're going to be doing over in our bonus episode. So if you are a patron, a dust jacket, then you can listen to that. But yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.